The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. There's a lot going on today. And we begin with the truth about what is really happening in our society. The Nazis and Antifa, they are a symptom. They are a symptom. They are not the cause. What is the cause? What is happening? If you want somebody who is going to rah-rah the president or tear the president apart, you're on the wrong show. I'm going to tell you what I truly believe is happening. The only side I'm going to pick is the side of sanity. I will not go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. And make no mistake, if you're watching television and you're watching the right or the left, the right is driven right now by their hatred of the press. The left is driven right now by their hatred of Donald Trump. Is there anyone that will stand for the love of country and countrymen? We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. I want to start by asking you if you're somebody that needs blood, if you're somebody that needs to be angry, if you're somebody that needs to rub the nose of whomever in whatever, this is not the show for you. If you're tired of all of this, if you think we're better than this, if you think we have to solve this problem, then this is the show for you. But the way we're going, the world has gone before. The way we're going will end with either the communists rounding up and slaughtering those who disagree with them, or the Nazis rounding people up that disagree with them and slaughtering them. I'm sorry, but I don't have a thing in common with these Nazis and the white supremacists. None of it. None of them. My gosh, I've gotten in trouble on both the right and the left for talking about the evils of Nazis for the last 15 or 20 years. I want nothing to do with them. And I also want nothing to do with the radical anarchist communists who show up in black masks with baseball bats and burn our cities down. I want nothing to do with people who are saying our heritage is our white heritage. And I want nothing to do with people who are saying our heritage is our black heritage. It's not. We are humans. All of us, each of us. I can't take the left and I can't take the right. I can't watch either side of the media anymore. Does anybody really care about our country anymore? And please don't give me lip service. I about caused a panic in my own church when I started teaching the 15-year-olds, and I started asking them about, you know, tell me what you know about the Bible, and tell me that you know that Jesus is, you know, the Savior, and how many people here, you know, firmly believe in the Bible? And they all dutifully raised their hand, and I said, shut up. Put your hands down. No, you don't. How do you know that? How do you know that? If you can tell me a story about how you searched and searched and searched and how you prayed right now, you know it because somebody else has told you it's true. So how many people care about our country? Everybody's going to raise their hand. Really? So what is the tough thing that you have done? What's the thing that you have stood up against that made you a pariah in your own circle? Because I got news for you. It's not the left's fault, and it's not the right fault. It's all of our faults. All of us. We're all playing the same game. And if you're not man enough or brave enough to admit that, then I invite you to stay with us. But as you say in AA meetings, when somebody comes and they have fallen off the wagon and they're still drinking, you know what? This is probably a good meeting for you just to listen. Americans, and hear me, Americans, and I believe it's 90%, but I'll be, let's be totally crazy. I'll say it's only 70%, 60%, only 60% of Americans. And I think that number is wildly wrong. Most Americans don't want anything to do with the Nazis or the anarchists and the communists. Nothing. They have nothing in common. They despise them both. Most Americans, and yes, that includes the left. And left, if you happen to be listening, that includes the right. We want nothing to do with it. They're both crazy, dangerous, and racist. Period. And here's what's happening. The media, because they hate Donald Trump so much, and the right media, because they hate the media so much, are giving America a false choice. You don't condemn Donald Trump, really. Not even the Nazis. You don't condemn Donald Trump. You are choosing the side of the Nazis. And if you don't defend on the right, if you don't defend Donald Trump, then you're a communist anarchist that might as well be burning down Berkeley. Neither of those are true. That's not our choice. You're with the black nationalist or the white nationalist? I'm not with either of them. The Democrats co-opted a very small sliver of radicals that despise capitalism, that despise America, that despise white people, that despise the cops. They co-opted them, thinking they could control them. They'll bring them in because it will add fuel. Now, right, if you're shaking your head right now going, yep, that's exactly what they did. And you'll shake your head even more when I say, and they lost that battle. They have lost their soul. Those guys are the heart of the party, not the average Democrat, but the party. Now, let me speak to the left. And you're going to shake your head. And the Republicans are all going to be pissed. But the Republicans did the same damn thing. First of all, it was the Republicans that started the progressive movement. So they've had progressives in their ranks from the very beginning. But what have they done in the last 3 years? They've co-opted the alt-right. Because why? Because they're racist? No. Because every vote counts. And so we'll use them. And what's happening? The same thing that happened to the Democrats. And why did each side do it? Because it drives money and it drives votes. Hate drives money and drives votes. And so where does that leave the average person? Well, 80% of Americans haven't seen a wage increase. Most Americans have their kids in a school that they know is not preparing their children for anything other than politically correct living, other than living in a Marxist state. It's not preparing them for anything. There's no actual education happening. There's a re-education happening in our failing schools. And you know what? Don't tell me that that's a thing on the right, because the left knows it. Watch the lefties talk about education at TED Talks, where they condemn the failing American education system. The left knows it too. We both do. None of us can afford college anymore for our kids. Barely any of us can afford health care anymore. That's what's happening with 80% of the nation, maybe more. Are you seeing those people reflected at all? No, no, no. Instead, both parties are doing their best, just trying to get reelected. This is all about 2018 and 2020. This isn't about anything else. This isn't about you. This isn't about real problems. This is about 2018 or 2020, period. That's all this is about. Dividing and spreading lies about 50% of the population. Well, I want to make sure you understand. If you're watching the left media, they're lying about 50% of the population. And if you're watching the right media, they're lying about the other 50% of the population. The truth is, there's probably 10% of those freaks on the right and 10% of those freaks on the left. And the rest of us want nothing to do with them. It's why I reject both parties. And I reject the media, both right and left. I want nothing to do with you. I will remove myself from the game happily before I lose my soul. Can I just ask? I don't need to ask you, because I know the average American gets this. Can I ask those who are engaged in this insane death game? How's this end? Play it out. How's it end? Does it end in race riots? Civil war? Global war? Your side winning in 2020? Whichever side that is. And then we really get them. What do you do with the remainder of the people, the 40% that just will not go along? Well, first you have to demonize them. Oh, we've already done that. Then what do? You shove, and then you shoot. Now, maybe 20% of the United States is effing out of their mind. Maybe the country has gone out of its mind crazy. But I am sorry. I do not believe, because I have too many friends on both sides of the aisle and the issues that disagree, who are afraid of their own side. They are seeing where this is leading and they want nothing to do with it. So maybe it's 20% that's crazy, but that leaves 80% of us who want nothing to do with it. We all want our children to have health care, food. We all want our children to have a good education. I believe we all want our troops to come home. We want an end to the endless wars. I want justice for the wronged. I want an end to racism. It's never going to leave us because that's a human trait, but we can do better than we are. I want an end to poverty. It's never going to leave us. But we're the most charitable people that have ever lived. I want freedom for people who are enslaved today. There are more people enslaved today than in the entire history of Western slavery combined. I want an end of oppression. I want an end to government and banking and corporate corruption. I want the truth of American history to be known. I don't think there's been anybody on the right, perhaps in the history of the right, that has tried to do more to expose the bad parts of our history. To expose how racist, how damaging, how ugly we have been. But you can't just tell that part of the story. That makes the glorious parts of our history better. We reached beyond the slime. We reached above ourselves. We saw something better. I want history taught. I want the bitter. I want the sweet. I want the bad cops to go to jail. I want them to go to jail. But I want the good cops to know, I can't begin to understand your job, but as long as you're on the right side of the law, as long as you're on the right side of human decency, I got your back. I want compassion on the border, but I also want justice and law and order. I want you to live as who you want to live as, love who you want to love, worship God, don't worship God, and we can live side by side. How do we not agree on some of these big things? I want you to know, I'm going to say some things today that are going to make both sides uncomfortable. Good. Then I've done my job. And no more. Now this, LifeLock. Recent study shows that 2% of small business owners are concerned about information security. 2% of small business owners. Yet 14 million people in the U.S. were victims of cyber attacks just last year. Hackers will target small businesses because they know they don't have the money or the time or they don't care about it. And somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. LifeLock watches everything, a wide variety of identity threats. If there's a problem, somebody based here in the U.S., an identity restoration specialist, is going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent identity theft or monitor all transactions, but right now you'll get a 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. 1-800-LifeLock, 1-800-LifeLock, LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK15. Save 15% on your membership of your first year. Offer ends August 27th. Terms and conditions do apply. LifeLock.com, promo code BECK15.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you're not going to like hearing about their 92% conviction rate. That means the IRS wins 92% of tax avoider cases they prosecute. Maybe you skated by this long, but they are coming. You have to get out in front of your IRS problems before they show up at your home and your work, before they take your paycheck and bank accounts, and before they add you to their 92% conviction rate. Call Optima Tax Relief. They're the experts. They step between you and the IRS and start resolving the problems that keep you up at night. Just call. Ask how they've resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Ask about their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And ask about the Fresh Start program with a chance to settle your back taxes for pennies on the dollar. These guys know what they're doing. You've seen the success stories. Give them a call. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. Optima Tax Relief.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Hey, listen. I need to be able to have an adult conversation with you. We need to be able to talk, not in sound bites, but actually listen to one another. And I think I've been listening to you, and I'd like to share some of the thoughts when we come back.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Got this tweet in, Glenn, from to at World of Stew on Twitter. Wow, Glenn's monologue sounds like Winston Churchill, Gandhi, Jesus, and Hulk Hogan got spliced together. The perfect explanation for the first half hour.
Ooh! Little Randy Macho Man Savage thrown in as well today. I want to read a letter from a dad. A dad of a guy who saw his son on television interviewed while he was holding a torch in Charlottesville. The dad lives in Fargo, North Dakota. He and his family are now being, their lives are being destroyed in their hometown for the actions of his son. Isn't that the reason why we came here in the first place? That you did not have to pay for the sins of your name? That you were an individual and you could stand on your own two feet and be judged by your actions? That you weren't, you didn't get ahead of life because of your family name? Everyone had to earn it themselves. I want to read this story to you, and I want you to put yourself, take all politics out of it, and I want you to put yourself in this dad's shoes. I've never worked harder in my life on anything, including this job, than I have on my children. I have worked. I was foolish and stupid and reckless and really thought, you know, I have to do these things and, you know, the Lord will work it out. With my older children, and he has. I'm so blessed. They both live next to us, and you know we are so close. And I love them to death, and they love their father, thank God, and they love their mother, and they love their stepmom. But I woke up a few years ago, and I've tried so hard with my children, knowing that my children could slip through my fingers and could become monsters, because the world is such a dangerous place. They could lose their soul. They could lose everything just by the wrong friends, the wrong series of events. My name is Pierce Teft, this dad writes on Facebook. I am writing to all with regards to my youngest son, Peter Teft, an avowed white nationalist who's been featured in a number of local news stories over the last several months. On Friday night, my son traveled to Charlottesville, Virginia. He was interviewed by a national news outlet while marching with reported white nationalists who allegedly went on to kill a person. I, along with all of his siblings and his entire family, wish to loudly repudiate my son's vile, hateful, and racist rhetoric and his actions. I don't know specifically where he learned these things and gained these beliefs, but he did not learn them at home. I have shared my home and my hearth with friends and acquaintances of every race, gender, and creed. I have taught all of my children that all men and women are created equal, that they have to love one another, all, each of them the same. Evidently, my son Peter has chosen to unlearn these lessons, much to my and his family's heartbreak and distress. And we've been silent up until now, but we now see that that was a mistake. It was the silence of good people that allowed the Nazis to flourish the first time around. And it is the silence of good people that is allowing them to flourish now. Peter Teft, my son, is not welcome at our family gatherings any longer. And I pray my prodigal son will renounce his hateful beliefs and return home. Then and only then will I lay out the feast. His hateful opinions are bringing hateful rhetoric to his siblings, cousins, nieces, nephews, as well as his parents. Why must we be guilty by association? Again, none of these beliefs were learned at home. We do not, never have, never will accept his twisted worldview. He once joked, "The thing about us fascists is, it's not that we don't believe in freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. We'll just throw you in the oven. We'll just throw you in the oven? Peter, you're going to have to shovel our bodies into the oven too. Please, son, renounce the hate. Accept and love all." Did your friends go insane? Did your family members go insane? Because this one did. But did he actually go insane? What is happening? What is happening? Could you please play, Pat, the chance that was going on with the guys who were, you know, holding the tiki torches? Listen to the chants of what these people are saying.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
Jews will not replace us. Blood and soil. Blood and soil. Do you know anybody that agrees with that? Do you know anybody that agrees with that? Because I don't. Do you know anybody who isn't shocked and horrified even by the Nazi symbol? We have, because of the museum, we have artifacts from the Nazis. Those artifacts don't even come into my home. And every time I have shown someone an artifact of that, I have a friend whose museum includes pin number one. That means the Nazi pin, the little pin, lapel pin, number one belonged to Adolf Hitler. I have yet to meet anyone on the right or the left that have seen that pin and didn't recoil back. Nobody said, "Ooh, can I hold that?" I'll pick it up and move towards them and say, this was Adolf Hitler's pen. Every single time they move away from it. Every time. It's a lie. It's a lie that if you don't condemn Donald Trump, that you are just like the Nazis. Here's the other lie. And this is the hardest one for anybody to get over. There is a feeling in today's world, and it's always like this, that softness is weakness, and that loud is strength. It's not. The antidote to our society, what's poisoning us right now, is what? Hatred. What is the antidote to hatred? It's love. It's not more hatred. It's love. It's not anger. It's not violence. It's not mob justice. It's love. And nobody wants to hear this. But if you're not actively pursuing love, peace, kindness, healing, understanding, you are part of the problem. And I don't mean that to condemn you. I mean that to be a message from history. And if you don't think that understanding and healing and love works, then you're going to have to revisit the story of Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln. It doesn't mean that you don't stand up for what is right and you defend what is right. It means with malice toward none and charity toward all. Abraham Lincoln was not an angry guy. He was not a guy who was like, yeah, and I'll tell you another thing they did. That's not how we won. That would have destroyed the country. He had to stop his own vice president in the second inaugural address when the vice president stood up and was like, yeah, and I'm telling you what, we're going to take the South and we're going for reparations. Abraham Lincoln had to tell him, sit down. Go home. We need fierce determination. We need a dangerous unselfishness, as Martin Luther King said. If the options that you believe we have to choose are between black supremacist Antifa on one side and on the other side, the KKK and the Nazis, and they're on the right, then I'm telling you those are false choices. And I've never liked to stand right in the mushy middle, but I'm telling you the only place to be is the middle, because if that's on one side and the other is the Nazis, then I need to be the furthest away from both of those, and the only place then to be is in the middle. We all need to gather in the middle and say, I don't want either of those choices. And if your party and your friends and your media's choice is making any excuses or ignoring the facts about either side, or playing, well, what about? It is high time you get new friends, you get a new party, and you get a new media source. And now this. Car Shield. Jeffy is the guy who, you know, he's kind of Charlie Brown. God bless Jeffy. He's the guy who is, you know, always at the short end of the stick and gets the car that, you know, always is the one that needs to be repaired. And is also always the guy who's the hardworking, and no matter what we say about Jeffy, he is the hardworking, charitable one. He's the guy who will give you the shirt off his back and you can make it into a tent for a family of 10.
Is that a compliment?
I think so. Let's just go with that. Jeffy is the guy who understands history of, I wish I had Car Shield.
No question about that.
If you're somebody who has a car and it doesn't have a warranty or your warranty's about to go out, look, there's a reason these things only last for the warranty. They cover the warranty and then they want you to buy a new car. So if you say, I don't want to buy a new car, well, a new engine will cost you $5,000. An air conditioning unit, imagine living down south without one, cost you as much as $1,500. Just a water pump will cost you $500. That makes a serious dent in everything that you do. Car Shield will have you covered. Right now, you can get the VIP treatment from Car Shield's administrators. That means your car breaks down on the side of the road, which mine used to all the time. 24/7 roadside assistance, a rental car while yours is in the shop, and you can have your favorite mechanic or the dealership do the work. You don't have to pay. Car Shield gets the mechanic paid directly. Save yourself from the high repair bills. Get covered with Car Shield before something goes wrong. All you have to do is call 800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use the promo code Beck. Save 10%. Carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductibles may apply.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So they began to tear down statues all over the country. Baltimore last night tore down a Confederate statue in the middle of the night. This is going to continue to happen. And it's now happening out of fear, out of political correctness, out of anger. All of the wrong reasons. There are right reasons to take down statues. There are a lot of wrong reasons to take them down, and we are acting on all of that right now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Got some good news. There is a black group in Dallas that has vowed to protect the Confederate monuments here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It is in direct contrast to the way people are acting elsewhere. This black group here in Dallas said, you know what? They don't affect my life. They're all dead. And it is part of our history. Should we have perspective on those things? Yeah. Should we just start tearing monuments down? I would suggest that's part of our problem. That we are destroying everything. Remember when I said to you, everything that you thought was solid would be liquid and liquid will be solid. The entire country is being turned inside out and upside down. We'll show you, first of all, how that's being done, why that's being done. But by the end of this hour, I think you will also understand who's really behind this. And it's not your neighbor, no matter who they voted for. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me give you the story. An anti-Trump activist has been accused of executing his neighbor, who is a prominent Republican and Donald Trump supporter. Clayton Carter allegedly shot George Jennings, 51, twice in the head outside of his home in Pennsylvania in the early hours of August 8th. Clayton Carter, 51, accused of shooting his neighbor, George Jennings. Now, you can take this story and you can spin it this way. Clayton had a whole bunch of Donald Trump signs in his front yard.
Anti-Trump.
Anti-Trump.
Mm-hmm.
In his front yard. He's the guy who did the shooting. The neighbor who was shot was pro-Trump. He was pro-GOP. They had been going at it forever. The anti-Trump guy had enough of his neighbor and executed him. Put a bullet in his head, and then as he came down, put a second bullet into his head.
His wife looked on.
This is the story I can tell. Or I could go a little deeper and say, yes, he was a rabid anti-Trump guy. And I could just make a case. Now, all anti-Trump people are angry and violent, and they're all going after their neighbors. If you disagree with them, they'll put a bullet in your head because that's how angry they really are. I could get you whipped up into that. Or I could say, you know what? There's probably something more. And once you do that homework, you realize this guy is the anti-Trump guy is angry all the time about everything. He's a guy who likes, it seems, to be angry. And nobody gets along with him in the neighborhood. And these guys had been arguing for years. It was the Hatfields and McCoy. We need to stop looking at just the political motivations in things. We also need to stop making generalizations of everyone based on who they voted for. Here's a guy who's anti-Donald Trump. Look, he shot his neighbor, executed his neighbor, shot him twice in the head. That's just like those anti-Trump people. Look how angry they all are. Why are they angry? Why are they angry? And who's making them angry? And why is the left angry? And who's making them angry? On both sides, I think both sides have a reason to be angry. We can get into whataboutism all you want, but I'm not talking about the fringes. I'm talking about the people that you know, the people that you've been friends with who are not crazy. Why are they so angry? Something is playing on them beyond politics. Now, let me say, first I want to separate that group. That's the group of people you know on both sides of the aisle. Then there's another group, and these groups deal in anger and rage and hatred. Vice happened to be in Charlottesville over the weekend. And so they were doing a special on this white nationalist group. This is the alt-right. This is anybody who was, you know, posting little pictures of the frog and starting, you're just a cuck-servative. That all came from the alt-right. All that language that so many of your friends adopted was started by the alt-right. Now, that doesn't make them an alt-right person. It just means they weren't aware of who these people are. And let's show you who these people are on both sides. Listen to this.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
Jews will not replace us.
So that's what they're worried about. They're worried about getting replaced by Jews. And, you know, who can blame them?
Well, there's 16 million Jews in the planet. They all have to have 10 jobs each, 10 full-time jobs each, just to cover the jobs
in America. Yeah.
And I'm very concerned about that.
I wouldn't say nationalists are known for their math. I wouldn't say that's one of their strong suits.
Right. Well, they're socialists, so they believe in the big state, so they're probably for Common Core.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the Presbyterians because they have replaced a lot of people already.
Presbyterians?
Yeah. Yeah, the people who believe that when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and you can't get it back down.
Yeah.
Like a Frisbee.
I've never heard
it's
of
it. Big. It's really big. But it's in Clearwater, Florida, I believe, is the head of the Presbyterian Church. Yes. But anyway, we digress.
Here's more.
I'm here to spread ideas, talk, in the hopes that somebody more capable will come along and do that. Somebody like Donald Trump, who does not give his daughter to a Jew.
Oh, man.
So Donald Trump, but like more racist.
A lot more racist than Donald Trump. I don't think that you could feel about race the way I do and watch that Kushner bastard walk around with that beautiful girl, okay?
Is that unbelievable?
Unreal.
How do you get to feel that way about Jewish people? How does that happen? I don't even understand the Jewish hate.
You have to be taught. You're not born with that kind of stuff.
No. Why would you be? Unless you're Palestinian and then you've grown up in it and you've gone to kindergarten and they've taught you all these things. In America, how does that happen?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I didn't even know a Jewish person. I didn't even know a Jewish person until my agent, George Hiltzik. I mean, I was 30? I never oh, you're Jewish. What's happened with that? I'm sure I knew them. I didn't care. We didn't talk about it. It was no big deal.
You treat people as individuals, which is kind of how you're supposed to do it, I think.
Right.
You look at this and it's like that clip starts as if it sounds like it's going to be the typical media attack against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And you realize that, you know, that is not what it was at all. That is this guy saying, Donald Trump isn't going nearly far enough for me. And, you know, this is why you want Trump to come out and disassociate himself with these people as strongly as possible. Because Donald Trump does not believe what this moron believes. You look at who he's put in his administration besides his daughter and his,
please tell me there's no more Jews in that.
There's lots of them.
Oh, my gosh.
He was doing this, he was behind Gary Cohn and Steve Mnuchin were right behind him when he was doing the press conference yesterday.
Thank goodness he hadn't anybody black people in.
You know what? Yeah.
Holy cow. This is
stunning.
I didn't know. Jews and blacks?
Yeah.
Both working.
Yes.
In the government.
Yes.
Holy cow.
This guy's going to be pissed off about it, I'm sure, in this audio.
Yes,
but
so this is, again, just showing you.
It's bizarre.
You do not defend, excuse, or play whataboutism. Mm-hmm. The minute you say, you hear this.
The left wasn't able to beat us.
Stop. You hear this. You do not follow this with. Yeah, but, you know, the other side is, I don't care what the other side is doing. You know what that is? You know what that makes you sound like? Everyone we have railed against since September 11th. Yes, I'm against the terrorists, but I will tell you that you guys have you stop listening to those people.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with Donald Trump's speech. If you are not absolutely crystal clear, these guys are an enemy of not the United States, not of mine, of mankind. There's no whataboutism. There's no other side. There's nothing. We're talking about them right now.
And believe me,
I'll get to the other side later. We're talking about them. There's no way
you stand or dismiss or do anything but say, that's poison. I am as far away from that as possible.
And you can watch CNN all day and find, in any place, and find people denouncing white supremacists. Some of them are just doing it hyper-partisan anti-Trump reasons. Some of them are doing it, and they are completely right, word for word, I would agree with them. The issue here, though, is none of those things mean anything to white supremacists. No. None of those denunciations coming from CNN or MSNBC mean a thing. It would mean something from Donald Trump. And that's why you want him to be so passionate about it,
right.
More passionate than a guy leaving your economic council.
They don't mind being on the fringe. They like being on the fringe. That's the only place they can grow in darkness. The president shining a spotlight on them is really important, but I really don't care about how they feel. I really don't. What I care about is that we have drawn a very bright line all around them and said, do not cross this line. To our side. See this group of people? This is what they believe. Stay a million miles away from them. It's not about them, it's about us. I'm not going to excuse, I'm not going to play whataboutism at all. I won't. They're wrong, they're evil, and they are an enemy to humanity. Next clip, please.
The left wasn't able to beat us. The left, who are the boot boys of the capitalist class and the bourgeoisie and the status quo.
Okay, stop for a second. Hang on just a second. What was that?
What word was that?
What was that?
Capitalist? Yeah.
What is he saying there, Stu?
He seems to be against capitalists.
Mm-hmm. The bourgeoisie.
And the bourgeoisie. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The only person I have ever met in my life or even seen in movies that uses the word bourgeoisie are Marxists.
Well, Marxist and Jeffy, who doesn't like bougie sauce.
Thank you.
That's true.
He uses that on a regular basis, but not the entire word because he doesn't know it.
Right.
But the bourgeoisie, you're right. The bourgeoisie, it's an attack used, by the way, by people you might know as national socialists.
Yeah.
They don't like capitalism.
So wait a minute.
They crushed it.
By listening and exposing these people, you now can see in their own language. When they say alt-right, they mean alternate right, as in defining the word alternate, a replacement of the right. They cannot coexist with the right because they do not believe in the Constitution. They believe in a Marxist, socialist, heavy government state. They have nothing to do with us. Draw a bright line around that. Back in just a second, our sponsor this half hour is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. You no longer need to spend your entire day looking for the perfect candidate. With ZipRecruiter, they have powerful technology that will efficiently match the right people to your job better than anyone else. And it's not really a job site. It will help you post on all of the job sites. As you post on all of those job sites, you will be able to then bring everything in. ZipRecruiter brings it all into one interface. And then beyond that, it helps you sort. And as you're sorting, it goes out and it's searching for others that may not have seen your post and says, hey, this guy might be a good candidate you might like to call. This is a really good HR department in an app. I want you to go to ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. Post for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Make sure you go there. You get it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you're not going to like hearing about their 92% conviction rate. That means the IRS wins 92% of tax avoider cases they prosecute. Maybe you skated by this long, but they are coming. You have to get out in front of your IRS problems before they show up at your home and your work, before they take your paycheck and bank accounts, and before they add you to their 92% conviction rate. Call Optima Tax Relief. They're the experts. They step between you and the IRS and start resolving the problems that keep you up at night. Just call. Ask how they've resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Ask about their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And ask about the Fresh Start program with a chance to settle your back taxes for pennies on the dollar. These guys know what they're doing. You've seen the success stories. Give them a call. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. Optima Tax Relief.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. So the reaction to the president's press conference yesterday was this press conference is going to be the undoing of his presidency. If I hear that almost, it's almost to the point to where I'm expecting, you know, the president's last bowel movement is going to be the end of his presidency. They say that about everything this man does.
They sure do.
Everything. Everything this man does. And I don't want to talk about, the typical battle, because you're going to get that on every other talk radio host agenda today. I don't want to talk about that battle. I want to talk about why he can't fight that battle. And he can't fight the battle that he wants to fight because he did not come out in the first day. I'm sorry, but tiki torches and Nazi flags scare the bat crap out of 99% of America, and rightfully so. And he said, well, I didn't because I wanted more information. Well, what more information did you get? Well, you got things like this. This is somebody, one of the organizers, talking about, you know, that woman that was killed was justified. Listen to this.
But the car that struck a protester, that's unprovoked.
That's not true, and you know that it's not true. You've seen the video. So.
I've seen a video. I don't know much about it.
Can you describe what the video appears to show? Okay. So the video appears to show someone striking that vehicle when these animals attacked him again.
Animals.
And he saw no way to get away from them except to hit the gas.
My gosh.
And sadly, because our rivals are a bunch of stupid animals who don't pay attention, they couldn't just get out of the way of his car, and some people got hurt. And that's unfortunate.
So you think it was justified?
I think it was more than justified. I can't believe the amount of restraint that our people showed out there, I think, was astounding.
Mm. Wow.
Okay, so that's the dream world they live in. Now, can somebody follow that and feel good about themselves with, well, but, can you?
No.
You cannot follow.
No, it's not the time for that.
Yeah, and you cannot have, because that is an intellectual discussion.
Yeah.
It's an intellectual discussion. It is just like saying there is a school shooting and all these kids were shot and coming out in the press conference and saying we need gun control.
And it drives us out of our mind every time
Correct.
We do that.
Because that's not the time to have this conversation.
Right.
The time to mourn and to just condemn evil. Not to play whataboutism or politics. And if you miss that opportunity, you are forever branded as that, just like we, and hear me carefully and clearly, just like the right branded Barack Obama because of workplace violence. Those were all terrorist attacks. Those were terrorist attacks. And he was seen by those on the left as, no, he's clear about that. He knows. We know. No. Half the country doesn't know that you know that those were terrorist attacks because you were wishy-washy. Doesn't matter what you say when you're giving a speech in front of Congress. It matters what you say, what's your gut say. And that's where he missed it. Now, I want to play one more clip, but this goes to a clip on the extremist on the other side when we come back.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, I want to play what talk radio and the right, and I believe rightfully so, will be playing today. Play the woman about Thomas Jefferson. They took more statues down, and this is going to make you feel good about yourself and your position. You will see that what the president said last night is true. What's next? George Washington? Thomas Jefferson? That is true. That is coming. And so talk radio will spend a lot of time on this. Listen to this.
This is the face of supremacy. This is what we deal with every day being African American. And this has always been the reality of Charlottesville. You can't stand in one corner in this city and not look at the master sitting on top of Monticello. He looks down on us. He's been looking down on the city for God knows how long.
Okay, so that is saying Thomas Jefferson has to be removed.
Yeah.
All right, so that's true. That is true. And that is important to note and important to understand. However, what is happening is we have a poison in our own ranks. And if we don't get this poison out, we fail and we become everything we despise. And I'm not saying that for any other reason other than history repeats itself. And this has happened and is happening all over the world. Jason just came in a few minutes ago. He's a chief researcher on the program. And he said, I've got to go over a couple of things. And I want you to hear him out. Jason, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you've been talking about the links between Russian groups and far-right groups over in Europe. You were talking about this back in 2014. You were saying that a lot of these far-right Nazi nationalist groups, they're getting direct funding from at times even instruction from the Russian government.
Yes.
And a lot of that was being directed towards a guy that we called out, which is Alexander Dugin. He's basically the grand wizard, if you want to call him, behind everything.
Okay, so I want you to understand. This Russia piece, this is what's important. That not whether Donald Trump was working with the Russians to thwart the election. We got enough there. What they did is they spent all of their Russian capital, the left, all of the Russian capital, and they spent it all trying to get Donald Trump instead of trying to find out where the real danger is. The right, in response, did everything they could to just dismiss Putin, all the way to the president saying, we're no different than Russia. We are very different than Russia. It's whataboutism and hatred. And so we've missed some things. And you can't let this happen on this particular case. Now, how does this tie in to what I was saying in 2014? Bring me up to speed on how this ties in. We go to the audio that we have?
Let's do that.
Okay, I want you to listen to this. Now, it's going to play it in two sections. This, again, from one of the organizers of the rally in Charlottesville. Now, listen carefully.
The left wasn't able to beat us. The left, who were the boot boys of the capitalist class and the bourgeoisie and the status quo. So they weren't able to beat us with their armed militant left-wing radicals. So they had to turn to the state. If that doesn't go to show that the radical left, the corporations, and the state are all on the same Jewish side, a moment like this proves it.
Okay, so he's anti-capitalism, you know, anti-American, anti-corporation. And they're all, of course, they're only that way because they're Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so crazy talk. Okay, but it reveals they are not American constitutionalists. Now, here's the part that everyone in the media will miss, and it is the most important thing that has been exposed yet.
Listen. Can you tell us a little bit about the organizing tactics you guys used?
Sure, primarily following the European example of Golden Dawn, the Nordic Resistance Movement, and other organizations that really are at the vanguard of nationalist organizing in the world. Be able to coordinate over a large area to bring our people together. This is the largest nationalist rally in over two decades.
Stop.
Wow.
This goes back to the chalkboard at Fox. When I first introduced the Nazis, my first time, I believe, that I was hammered in the press for bringing up the Nazis. It goes that far back, because think about how many times I've been hammered for bringing up Nazis. And what I said, if you remember, it was about Gert Wilder, what's his name is. And I said, I made a statement about him and said, danger, because this will grow into this kind of a movement and it will jump over the sea to us, and it will happen, and you will see the hatred of the 1930s all over again. We've now been trying to expose this over the last, what, 3 years here?
Since 2014.
Specifically about Russia. So what can you add?
I heard him actually say Golden Dawn and Nordic Resistance Movement, and I think my gum actually fell out of my mouth when he said that. I could not believe that he was actually admitting that they were working with people like that. Or modeling a resistance after that. Golden Dawn is, you've been talking about them for a while. They have direct ties to Alexander Dugin. They have direct funding that they've actually traced back to the Kremlin. This is one of many groups that ever since back 2013, 2014, this was how the Kremlin and Russia began to start reaching out to far right groups to cause instability.
So I was talking about the Golden Dawn when they had 1% support in Greece. 1%. They had just launched the Golden Dawn Party. And their logo looks oddly reminiscent to a swastika. Now, how did they first approach it? They first approached it exactly the way it's happening now in America with the alt-right. They start standing against nationalist things, and they start standing for national pride and the pride of the Greek people. And you will quickly see, mark my words, you will quickly see if they are indeed following the pattern of Golden Dawn, which is following the pattern set out by Alexander Dugin. You can read it. He publishes these books in English. You will see the next thing they did was start to attack immigrants. Golden Dawn went into all of the, you know, the markets, and they burned down and overturned the table of all of the immigrant markets. You're not Greek enough. Get out. That caused a real stir, kind of like this. So what did they do? What all good socialists do? What did Hugo Chavez do with Citgo? He gave away free gas to the needy. What did Golden Dawn do? Delivered groceries for free to those who had no money.
They're for the little people.
Operationally speaking, we are basically where Europe was in 2013, 2014, as far as a Russian intelligence operation and Dugin's association with them. We are basically Europe in 2013, 2014. The connections that we're already making, these are just a few of them, but listen to the connections to our far-right Nazi movement with Dugin and Russian intelligence. Richard Spencer, who everyone knows by now, he has direct links with Dugin. His wife, Nina Kuprianova, she has an alias, Byzantina.
His wife
is Dugin's English translator.
The official translator for Dugin.
Spencer and his buddy Preston Wigginton is a Texan. Wigginton.
So, I'm sorry. That is a character on The Simpsons.
Preston Wigginton?
Yes. All
right. Like Cletus the slack-jawed yokel?
They're the ones that are trying to one-up the Charlottesville protest and do that down at Texas A&M. Wigginton has already Skyped in Dugin to speak to people at Texas A&M on the campus. He's been Skyping Dugin in to spread this message directly. And it goes on from there. Heimbach is also, Matthew Heimbach, that was the guy that was speaking with Vice in that soundbite. He just started up a movement called the Traditionalist Youth Movement. His symbol, and you're going to love this, Glenn, is half of a seven-pointed star. Who else has a seven-pointed star as their symbol?
Well, let's see. It used to be the symbol for chaos, and that would be, Alexander Dugin.
Exactly. They're not. It's like they're not even trying to hide it. Heimbeck has also taken Dugin's message. He's Skyping in Dugin to California, places like that. He just Skyped in to another alt-right fascist movement, not Nazi movement in California. Dugin is preaching out there as well. They are these same guys, all the same collaborators and the people that are organizing these events. They are using Dugin as their mouthpiece.
So for anybody who thinks this doesn't matter, I ask you, did it matter when the Pope, Ronald Reagan, and Margaret Thatcher all got together and we sent operatives in and planted the seeds of discontent and strengthened the anti-communist fringe groups in Poland? When we strengthened them, when we tutored them, when we taught them, when we financed them, did it matter? Yes! We collapsed the Soviet Union. Putin is doing a reverse play on us, and two things are happening. One, we're too damn stupid to admit it. Because whataboutism? Ah, that doesn't matter. Did Woodrow Wilson matter? Did Woodrow Wilson matter? Because I spent about 3 years hearing from everybody on the planet, oh, progressive liberal, it doesn't matter. Did it? Did your knowledge of progressivism change everything? Did it finally explain to you how we got here in the first place? The answer is yes. Now, are we going to spend the next 3 years saying, oh, Dugin doesn't matter, Putin doesn't matter, the alt-right is too small? Because I have news for you. In 3 years from now, you will pray to God for anyone to stop it. This is the Nazi and communist playbook that has been played out over and over and over again. You know how they stopped it in France? They built the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty was not built for us. It was built for them, because the Marxists and the communists were all gathering and trying to overthrow the system in France. And they needed something. How do we do it? We point to the horizon and say, there's where we need to go. There's the hope. That torch is in prison lightning. That's the way we need to go. Not this Marxist nihilist idea. Who's giving us that point on the horizon? Is our point on the horizon really that the media needs to be destroyed? Is our point on the horizon that the Nazis need to be destroyed? Is that the best we can do? The best we can do is that Antifa needs to be destroyed? That's not a vision for the future. That's not a vision for America. That's not a vision I want anything a part of. Yes, they have to be stopped. And then what? Return to this? We must have an articulated vision. We must remember who we are. And I'll tell you who you are. You are the people that just freed and saved the lives of 8,000 people. You got 8,000 people out of the Middle East when no country would take them. 8,000. You fed almost 30,000 and moved them to safe places. That's who you are. And you did it easily. The greatest thing we can do is get the other side to shut up. Wow. What a country. Sponsor this half hour is Say Anything. You're looking for a way to play games with your kids. Can I tell you something? I'm so worried about my kids. I know you're the same way. And I don't know if I'm worried about my kids as much as I'm sad to see them grow up in a way
I'm selfish. That's what it is. I'm selfish. My son's voice changed. This is so stupid. My son's voice changed over the summer. And it's like I'm talking to a man. And my little buddy is different now. And it's going to be a great phase. And he's going to be a great man. But I already regret every second I didn't spend with them. My daughter is turning into a woman. There's a new game called Say Anything. It's a game where you can play and you actually start to have a conversation with your kids. And there's nothing, it's not a conversation game. It's not one that, you know, it's a trick. They don't see it coming. Play it with your family. Say Anything. You'll find it at Target now. It's on sale for $5. Say Anything. $5 off now at Target. Say Anything.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
888-727-BACK.
This tomorrow is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Tomorrow, I'm going to explain why the rallying cry that you're hearing and that you're feeling right now, even if you can't articulate it, what is happening and what is the chosen vehicle that will get you so far off course that you won't recognize yourself 2 years from now? Remember, I've said the world is going to be so different that you'll wake up and everything that you thought was solid was liquid. We're already there. You don't recognize your country. In 2 years, you won't recognize yourself unless you understand what I'm going to explain on tomorrow's program.
Mercury.
There's a ton of things that don't make a difference in your world. Almost every bit of this political bickering back and forth makes no difference to you in your life. If you're like me, I want no part of either side. But there are important things in that story that we have to watch for. There is a very different perspective on this coming from a guy who writes for the Wall Street Journal. His last book was, if I remember right, Stop Helping Us. And it is a message from the black community to everybody who's like, oh, we're going to help you out. Stop it. Stop it. You're killing us. There's something else that's going on that I want to make sure that I mention today. And Stu, if you'll write this down so I don't forget, I have to talk to you. I was reading a story about Charlie Gard's mom who, and I'll just read a couple of lines of this later, who recalls when the doctor came in and said, it's better and more humane if you kill your son. Can you imagine that being said to you? On top of that, I must get to the Reykjavik story, which ties into this. In Reykjavik, they now have achieved a 0% Down syndrome birth rate. 0% in Reykjavik, guaranteed never to have another Down syndrome child. This strikes me with more fear than what I'm seeing in Charlottesville, and that scares the hell out of me. And I want to talk about that. We got a lot to do. We begin right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to introduce you to Jason Riley. He is the author of the book,
please stop helping us. I think you have to say it that way. And now a new book called False Black Power. We could sit here and talk about all the bad things, but why don't we figure out ways to fix it? That's why Jason is on today. Jason, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, first of all, I'd like to tie this into the umbrella of what is happening in our communities and what I think is coming our way, unfortunately. But I don't want to just concentrate on that. I want to find what is the squeeze or the pressure point on people, you know, in the white community and in the black community that is allowing us to feel comfortable to play the game of whataboutism. That's wrong. But what about when we're losing sight of everything? What is the pressure point in the black community that is giving people the feeling that it's okay to excuse people who are calling for, you know, hate and destruction and, you know, death to cops, et cetera, et cetera? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't know that it's really anything new. I think that in recent years, there's been more polarization. We can all look at, also the polling at the end of the Obama administration. Race relations were at their lowest point since the 1992 riots in Los Angeles. So I think it has partly to do with the social media phenomenon, the anecdotal evidence of police shootings being, captured on phones and passed around the internet very quickly and then run in loops on cable news every night. Statistically, it doesn't hold up. The data tells us that shootings, police shootings are way down in recent decades. But you know how powerful and emotional an anecdote can be. So I think that has fueled it as well. And then I think we currently have a president who isn't that concerned with trying to bridge these divides. I think he has made some political hay out of it. He probably believes it's helped him, and perhaps it has in some ways. I don't think it's why he got elected. I think he got elected because a lot of people that voted for Obama decided to vote for Donald Trump. But maybe he thinks these groups helped him, and he's a little hesitant to go after them too hard.
So here's, and I think this is really the thrust of the conversation we should have about your book, and that is there's a lot of people, and I think the press is partly at fault with this, and I include myself. Hate, anger, outrage, it sells. It gets the clicks. And everybody is driven by clicks and views and ratings.
It's more than that. It's more than that. It also wins you votes.
And
is what Obama was doing I think that's part of the problem. That's part of the reason that race relations worsened to the extent they did on his watch. It wasn't just the shootings caught on video. It was how he exploited them, how he played to the fears of blacks in particular. The Democrats get a lot of mileage out of keeping blacks racially paranoid and angry and upset, and Obama really played that up.
So I watched this weekend, there's nothing, to me, there's nothing more offensive to the memory of real civil rights leaders than the so-called civil rights leaders today. Where is the Martin Luther King of today that on either side, anywhere, from any walk of life, that is standing up and saying, love, reconciliation, this is wrong on both sides and we've got to stop it. We have to call evil by its name. Nazis are evil. And it's got to stop, but we have to stop feeding into the hate. Where is that person? Is there that person?
No, I don't believe there's a king figure out there. I'm someone who's argued that the civil rights movement, that we associate with King has become a civil rights industry.
Yes.
And that's what you have out there, a civil rights industrialist, so to speak, people that make a living, you know, that deal in racial spoils, that deal in using race as an all-purpose explanation, or racism as an all-purpose explanation for all that's that's negative in Black America, and essentially blaming whites. You know, Dr. King was about color blindness. He was about personal responsibility. Today you have groups like Black Lives Matter. You know, Black Lives Matter is not interested in color blindness, obviously, right? I mean, they're interested in color consciousness, keeping race front and center. You know, King said, judge me by the content of my character, not the color of my skin. These guys are saying Black Lives Matter, and don't you say otherwise. So we've done a 180. We've done a 180 here. We have color consciousness as the modus operandi today, where it used to be about, you know, race blindness.
Jason Riley, who just released the book False Black Power, also wrote, "Please stop helping us on the situation in Black America today and these false civil rights activists." When you have something like Black Lives Matter, did that grow out of, you know, people supporting, and I use that loosely because I don't know very many, you know, African Americans or blacks that actually support Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. Everybody I know thinks they're frauds. But that may just be because I hang around, you know, more conservatives than anybody else. But did that come from a place to where, all right, I've trusted the Democratic Party, I've trusted the civil rights leaders, you know, and nobody really cares. Nobody's doing anything. Nothing in my life is changing. They whip me up for my vote and then, or my money, and then I get nothing and they get rich and powerful.
There's some of that going on. I think maybe a younger generation who has grown impatient with the civil rights old guard that people like Jackson and Sharpton and the NAACP represent. I think that is partly it. The official history there is that it grew out of the Trayvon Martin shooting and then what happened in Ferguson. Something resembling Black Lives Matter was in its infancy at that point and then really took off to become what it has today.
What are we headed towards?
I think things could get worse before they get better. And I think what you're seeing with the white nationalists and the alt-right folks is something of a backlash against the Black Lives Matter types. And we've seen this before. If you go back and look at what came after the Black Power movement in the 1960s, we got in the 1970s and 80s a rise in skinheads and other white identity groups pushing back. Two can play this game. I mean, you want to play identity politics? You can play white identity politics. You can play black identity politics. I think it leaves us in a very bad way. I think it's bad for our national discourse, obviously. I think it's bad for our politics.
Is there such a thing as a national discourse anymore?
It's a good question. I'd like to think there is, or something that passes for one, but it's tough. It's tough partly because, as you know, being in the media, it's a very segmented audience there. People tend to tune into what they want to hear. They don't spend a lot of time flipping around the channels, listening to different points of view or reading a variety of different news outlets. You basically, you know, listen to what you want to hear. And that makes it tough to have a so-called national conversation.
But doesn't that also make that impossible to survive?
I hope not. I'm an optimist. I hope not. But I do think that that things could get worse before they get better, unfortunately.
Do you see a growing segment anywhere? Because I do, but maybe it's just my, you know, anecdotal, you know, experiences. Do you see a growing want of people wanting to spit themselves out of the system and are concerned about their own side? They're just not yet really willing to stand up and say it out loud, but privately they're like, you know, my side's starting to scare the hell out of me too.
Perhaps. Okay. I mean, on the one hand, you see a lot of this sort of hyper politicized environment. And you go, are people getting sick of this stuff, being in their living rooms every night? At the same time, the ratings are off the charts. People have never been more engaged than they are today. So I wonder if we've reached a tipping point yet. I do. I mean, I'm not sure we have.
Do you believe that the perception in the black community, is it an easy thing to say, or do people actually believe that their station in life is really kept in place because of racism?
I don't think your average black person believes that. I believe that your typical black leader, be it a political leader or someone at an activist organization, pushes that narrative. But no, I don't think everyday blacks think that, believe that, and haven't for a long time. People speaking in their name, however, continue to push that. And I talk about that a little bit in the book, where I talk about what blacks say among themselves when whites aren't around, versus what black leaders say in front of the cameras and to reporters.
I will tell you that I just executive produced a program with a bunch of black people, and they came and they did a show, and I watched it, and I'm like, okay, why would anybody want to watch that? I mean, it's the same stuff I see everywhere else. And I said, I know you guys, and that's not how you talk, how you dress. I don't care. We had a conversation. I said, don't do a show for me. Do a show for you. Do a show for who you hang out with. The show came back wildly different and unbelievable. And I felt like I was not uncomfortable at all, where sometimes you feel like, you know, oh, this is a, you know, this is a show that's not meant for me and I'm not comfortable. I heard discussions in a black community that I've never heard before, and not in a pandering way of any way. It was like I was just a fly on the wall. And it's amazing how much we have in common when we just are not, we don't have a filter between us. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. But as I said, the civil rights movement is now an industry. It's a very lucrative industry. Yeah. Dealing in racial spoils is a very lucrative way to go. And that is why playing the victim card continues to be popular on the left, on the black left in particular, and this narrative continues to be pushed. My argument, though, is that it's not doing, everyday blacks any favors.
No.
It's you know, to send young people out there to school with a chip on their shoulder, that the world is out to get them, the cops are out to shoot them down, and that all of their problems are a result of white America. You're just not doing these young people any favors at all when you send them out there with that mentality, with that victim mindset. But pushing that narrative again in the media, you're not going to go poor. You're not going to go hungry. There seems to be a great appetite for that.
From the Wall Street Journal, Jason Riley, author of the book False Black Power. Thank you for being on, and God bless. We'll talk to you again. Thanks,
Thank
Jason.
You.
Now this. Simply Safe. This is the time of the year that you start to see a spike in burglaries, because this is when people generally go on vacation. There are signs that you're not home. And, that's why the timers on the lights, you know, the ones you used to plug in and you could hear from across the room going, you know, ticking away. Those were first brought in, at least in my memory, because of vacations. People wanted people to think that they were home. I got to have the bedroom lights go on and off at a certain time. That's what that was for, to fool the burglars. Well, burglars don't want to show up when you're home. So this is the time of the year where it's the worst. And that is why Simply Safe is having their biggest special summer package sale ever. You'll get $100 off on this summer package. It has everything you need to keep your home safe from intruders. Round-the-clock monitoring is $15 a month. No long-term contract, nothing to lock you in. protection done the right way. Go to simplysafebeck.com. Sale ends on September 3rd at simplysafebeck.com. Save $100 on this summer package right now. Simplysafebeck.com.
We have won.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you're not going to like hearing about their 92% conviction rate. That means the IRS wins 92% of tax avoider cases they prosecute. Maybe you skated by this long, but they are coming. You have to get out in front of your IRS problems before they show up at your home and your work, before they take your paycheck and bank accounts, and before they add you to their 92% conviction rate. Call Optima Tax Relief. They're the experts. They step between you and the IRS and start resolving the problems that keep you up at night. Just call. Ask how they've resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Ask about their A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And ask about the Fresh Start program with a chance to settle your back taxes for pennies on the dollar. These guys know what they're doing. You've seen the success stories. Give them a call. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. 800-706-3011. Optima Tax Relief.
Is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
I told you at one point that, and this is 15 years ago, and I remember getting calls and writing people and going, oh, stop being so dramatic. And I said, there will come a point where you will not recognize your country. You will not recognize it. And everything you thought was solid would be liquid. I used to say it all the time. I want you to know that tomorrow I'm going to ask you to actually write down some things that you believe because you cannot forget them. And I want you to use it as a guide. I want you to keep it, know where it is, and I want you to check back on it because I believe if you don't pay attention to what I'm going to share with you tomorrow that is happening right now, and because everybody's playing politics and ratings and the money game, it's being missed. And if you don't understand this one thing, which no one will explain to you because they will dismiss it or they're blind, you will not recognize yourself 4 years from now. Make sure you join us on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going to give you this before we break. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book has been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And that process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except the endless present in which the party is always right. 1984, George Orwell. Think about that as we watch statues pulled down by mobs.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
There was a story that I saw yesterday from CBS News, and it reported that Iceland is leading the world in, quote, eradicating Down syndrome births. End quote. There was a tweet that said that, and then it had a picture of this really beautiful child. It said, Iceland is on pace to virtually eliminate Down syndrome through abortion. And has this beautiful child of about 4 years old in the snow hat and everything else. Am I supposed to like that? Am I supposed to say, oh, look at that beautiful child that should be dead? This is one of the... This to me, and I might be alone, this to me is the biggest symbol of the doom of humanity and the doom of our society. We are talking about Down syndrome babies and a country that has now made it so easy and so right to abort your child if your test comes back and says they'll have Down syndrome. They have taken the most beautiful children and beautiful people that I honestly have ever met. I have met spiritual leaders, big spiritual leaders. Uh-huh. Right. Okay, well, I'll listen to you on the pulpit, maybe, for about 5 minutes. You're a fraud. And then I've met people like Billy Graham, who is absolutely the real deal. But every Down syndrome child or person that I've ever met is a spiritual giant. Years ago, I was young and had never spent any time around Down syndrome, and really people of different abilities at all. I had no impact in my life personally with it. And I remember I was working in New Haven, Connecticut, and the Special Olympics, the global games for Special Olympics happened in New Haven, Connecticut. And the entire town left for the week. And it was really sad because the media had said, oh, traffic's going to be horrible. So everyone went on vacation for those 10 days. And there was no, it was a ghost town. And we went and we were working a lot of the events. And I will tell you that what the impact that had on my life was profound. And the impact that I walked away with immediately is, you know, and this is in the day, in the early 90s, when we could still use this word. And I remember thinking, you know, the world deems these children retarded. I'm the retarded one. I'm the one whose growth has been retarded from greed and malice and ego and the world and stuff and sexuality and whatever it is. Down syndrome people are the best among us. They truly are. It's not some politically correct, oh, they're the best among us. No, they're not. Yeah, these guys are. They will be our rulers on the other side because they get it. They are not afraid. All guile has been taken from them. And CBS reports, through abortion, Iceland is the first to nearly eradicate these people. Thumbs up. That is not progress. Let's call it what it is. That's eugenics. That is Margaret Sanger's most base dream. Get rid of the undesirables. Get rid of the people who can't really work for a living, don't really have any quality of life. I'd rather have their quality of life than mine. I would so much rather go through life loving everybody I meet. Do you ever get to a point where you don't want to understand the world? You just don't want to understand that there's just a lot of bad people. Don't you ever get to the point where you're just like, I don't want to be a part of that anymore. This is what the article says. Other countries aren't lagging too far behind in Down syndrome termination rates. Iceland is on pace to virtually eliminate Down syndrome through abortion. You're not eliminating Down syndrome. You're eliminating people. People. You're not going in and genetically splicing something. You are eliminating people. I'm concerned about the genetic splice. I'm a father of a daughter of special needs. Only a parent can truly understand this. A parent of special needs. I would give my life for my daughter to have an easier life. But I would not take her life away because her life is tough. She's one of the best people I know. And she's made me such a... I mean, it's bad because I also realize, man, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a long way to go to be a good person. And it's a constant reminder to me. She is a constant humbling of me. Would I abort her? Never. If I could abort the mean things that people have said to her, if I could abort the mean actions that people have shown her, if I could abort the pain that she has felt from those actions, my daughter changed. In the second grade, she had a friend who she never went over to their house. We never met her friend, but it was her best friend. And she would come home and she would talk about her best friend all the time. And one day she came home and she told us about how her best friend was having a birthday party. And she invited everybody. We said, oh, that's great, Mary. When is the party? When are you going? She said, and cheerfully, oh, I wasn't invited. What? I thought you said she invited everybody in the class. She did, but she didn't invite me. And she followed it up immediately with, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm fine. I'm fine, and I'm just glad, and I know she's going to have a great party. I don't think I stopped crying for 2 days. Would I like that to go away? Yeah. But that has nothing to do with the way she was born. That has everything to do with the way, you know, normal people are born. I would ask, when I saw this story and I saw this sweet child, the bottom of a CBS tweet with all kinds of likes underneath it, I thought, we can go no lower. Unfortunately, we can. But not as the people we've been. If this is the people, this is a new chapter of humanity, and we've seen it before. It's the way the world usually is.
the last 200 years have been an anomaly. The world usually is like the Game of Thrones. And we just won't be the same when we pass this door and cross its threshold. And I would ask that you would beg for forgiveness and beg for God to heal our hearts and heal our land. Because I just don't think there's a lot left here in our corner before we turn real dark. The good news, everything is a choice. And I used to be a guy who was suicidal because I never thought things could change. And then I realized everything can change the moment I decide. The moment you decide, I'm not going to be a part of that. The moment you decide, not on my watch. The moment you decide to choose love over hate, to choose hope over fear, you're going to be okay. But it has to be a conscious choice. It has to be one you have really thought about and you have spoken out loud. Sponsor this half hour, and we are truly, truly grateful for their sponsorship, is Goldline. There is a one warning sign that we've been telling you for about a year that we need to watch out for, and that is the subprime car loans. We've told you that the subprime car loan problem, when it hits, that's going to be the beginning of the unraveling. It's kind of like when I was watching for the price of oil and I said it gets up to $140 a barrel, you're going to start to see the subprime housing market unravel. I was wrong. It wasn't 140, it was 130. But that was the first sign of the unraveling. Here's the headline: deep subprime car loans hit crisis era milestone. There's a section of the car loan market known as the deep subprime, where delinquency rates now have ticked up to the level last seen in 2007 with the homes. This is the sign I've been looking for and experts have been looking for that says this is the beginning of the unraveling. Here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to call Goldline, and I would like you to ask them for information. No decision is a decision. Putting it off another day, I'll get to that, or I don't know, that's making a decision. You have to consciously look at the facts, do your own homework, and then reject it. Or move forward on it. Whatever it is on your life, don't be caught with no decision or I'll do it tomorrow. Please, do it now. I want you to call Goldline, 1-866-465-3546. Ask them about their price guarantee program. No stock, no mutual fund, no nothing. Banks won't even do what Goldline's willing to do for you to ensure that your money is safe. I want you to call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
I'm going to go back to what we were just talking about, what's happening up in Iceland on eliminating people, not Down syndrome, but people, and something that Stu's just said.
Well, I mean, it's one of these things where we all can come together today and say that it's a great idea and it's obvious that we should denounce Nazis. And it's totally true. Should we denounce Nazis? Should we denounce racism? Yes, 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 100%. Shouldn't it be just as obvious that we should denounce the idea of eliminating people? The praise of eliminating Down syndrome is the praise of eliminating people.
And you know what's amazing? Is...
a lot of times it is the left that is cheering for the elimination of Down syndrome while they're condemning the Nazis, but this was the whole point of the Nazi movement. The first thing they did was eliminate the undesirables and those who couldn't pay their own way in life.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.